Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First with yesterday's news, I and Glenn ZB were looking back at Wednesday. How's that campaign working out for you? What's important to you? The debate over statues that aren't politically correct has come to New Zealand. Yay! And what to do when your wheelie bin doesn't get picked up. Before any of that, should Gareth Morgan get to go to the debate?
What is your argument here, Gareth?
Well, it's just really trying to get a fair suck of the salve, really. We've been on the debates with the other media, TV3, Murray Television, and a few others. It's just the public-owned broadcaster that's got this criteria that's basically favouring the incumbents. And I just think, you know, it's just pure democracy, Larry. You know, if democracy's going to work, you have to allow, you know, the incumbents to be challenged on all fronts. And these guys have got the biggest audience, and they should have, they haven't, but they should have publicans first and foremost. And I just think they can do better, so the court will decide whether...
Okay, but you're not going to get up in front of the judge and say, look, I just want a fair suck of the sad. This will be based on law, won't it? Are you going on that precedent that was set in 2005?
Yeah, well, there's a whole lot to the case. You know, it's... I looked at it this afternoon the other day, but, you know, it's 1,700 pages or something. So, yeah, there's all that stuff in there. But that's really for the legals to... I mean, I just look at it like this. At the moment, we're polling... more than the Murray Party and ACT combined. In fact, more than three times ACT, and yet both those parties are in. Now, the reason they're in is because they've got a seat in Parliament.
But United Futures in there too. Yeah, United Futures in there also. Yeah, the last Colmar-Brunton poll, you tracked at, what, 1%, didn't you? Is that correct?
Yeah, Colmar's always been conservative because they run off some landlines, you know, and 21st century people don't have them. But,
yes, but
so
it's TV1's poll. That's what they're going off.
Yeah, yeah.
It?
So that's fine. That suits their private interests, but I'm just saying it doesn't suit the public interest, and it doesn't suit democracy.
So according to Mr. Morgan, he's arguing the fair suck of the salve precedent. He's trying to... Is that... I mean, I'm no lawyer, but I've not heard of that legal term being used in court that often. Anyway, at this rate, Mike Hosking might not even be there. He's sick today. So I hope he's going to be all right for tomorrow night. He wouldn't want to miss that one. Anyway, just speaking of the campaign, what's really important to you? Rachel's trying to find out.
And so the Wall Street Journal is looking at some parallels now in New Zealand. It says Jacinda Ardern's rise owes much to, quote, tapping into the growing unease about affordability, particularly among our young voters, and feeding off a global backlash over immigration. Now, I think that's interesting analysis from afar, and I'm interested to know if you think that's accurate. Is our high immigration a key issue for you in this election? It says our growth, this article, is outpacing many developed countries, but individually, we're not feeling the benefits of that. And hence, there's this growing mood for change that's emerged in New Zealand. Is that accurate, do you think? I mean, what's influencing your vote? Is it housing? Is it inequality? Is it child poverty? Is it the economy? Tax? Immigration? Or perhaps, and be honest here, is it personality? Is that more important to you than policy? Let me know. I'm really intrigued about this and whether the Wall Street Journal's got it right, whether a lot of this all comes back to our high immigration. What is the single most important factor to you as you cast your vote?
Well, it's no secret what mine is, of course. Easy access to bourbon and pizza. That's what I've been campaigning on my whole life, and I'm not about to change now. That's why I got into politics in the first place. Other things that we've borrowed off America is the subject of this statue, this memorial to a bloke who came over here and killed lots of Maori people. Here's a Maori people who's not very happy about it.
So you want the statue gone? Give us the reason for this.
Well, I want it removed. I want it removed perhaps to a museum or to a school in the learning context, basically because I think where it currently stands is the front to the local iwi, but also it commemorates the life of someone who I thought clearly history shows was a war criminal.
And what other statues do you want removed?
I've got no other crusade, but I want this particular one removed.
Yeah, but there must be more. You would agree? There must be more.
Oh, there may well be, but this one is a particular affront. This man, and under his command, women and children were rounded up in church and jail and burnt to death.
Where does it stop is the question.
I'm not sure where it will stop, but I think we should start with him. He was a war criminal, Larry. We've got to confront this in a historical context, and I think we've got to discuss it more. That's why I'm calling it for to be removed to a museum or to a learning institution, so we can discuss it in its historical context.
Right. Isn't this more about, though, the fact that there are not many Maori monuments, that they're all colonists' monuments?
Well, no, I don't think it's about that at all. I think it's about, in this particular instance, we've got a person whose life is celebrated. You know, he stands along a monument to men who died in World War I, World War II, and other wars. And I don't think he deserves to share their space and their place.
I think statues really seem to be annoying people these days. I think we should get rid of them all and replace them with bucket fountains. That'd be my vote. What about everybody else's?
Leave history alone. You can't alter it. It's what we see in those monuments and that are records. They make our life interesting. Anybody who objects to everything that offends their poor little souls need to get over it. They need to see that there are always injustices on both sides and leave things as they are. We cannot alter it. No bitterness and all of this soul-searching and pulling down statues and things is going to make any difference, because it would never end. And folk who feel very precious about it must realise that they're actually making history themselves right now.
Hmm.
See, there's it's Nelson at the top of the column in Trafalgar Square, isn't it?
Yes. Nelson's column.
Yeah, there's talk of getting him off.
Well, you know, we'll never end. We'll end up with a very boring existence, I think. And study. What will happen with the studies that are going on in schools and universities? Goodness me.
It's 1984.
And it's all over again.
It's happening.
Okay.
Cheers. Nice to talk to you, Faye.
So NASCOM emailed us, and his email read, "Statue removed, the 6th of September, 2050. Today, the Feminist Liberation Brigade, the FLB, tore down the Colin Mead statue in Tikawiti, claiming it paid tribute to the 1950s misogynist, masculine, beer-swilling rugby culture. The FLB, led by their 70-year-old patron, Jacinda Ardern, holding the urn of the late Sir Helen Clark, led the march and emceed the event, whilst the statue was pulled down with chains attached to a tractor driven by local residents, transgender couple Eve and Steve. The 2017 statue is to be recycled and the funds used to ease child poverty, which has never been reduced as it still remains as a percentage of the minimum yearly wage, currently $2.5 million.
But the thing about that email that makes it funny is that it's not beyond the realm of possibility.
No.
Is it too soon to be sending parody emails about statues of Colin Meads? Never too soon for a good, well-written parody email, I would have thought. Right, we're going to finish up here with a wheelie bin controversy. A scandal about wheelie bins.
If it got home, shock, horror, there was a tab on the wheelie bin, flip, with a note, like something you put on your luggage at the airport that said, "We've unable to empty your bin, it's too heavy." For flip's sake. What are you supposed to do? You get home, you get confronted by a wheelie bin full of old nappies and stuff. I was furious. I mean, surely that derrick that they've got can actually dump the bin into the bin. Furious. So I had to drag the wheelie bin down the street to the picnic area and unload the rubbish into the bin at the picnic area, which I didn't feel good about, but there was no other options. Going through a wheelie bin full of nappies. Oh, hell's bells and wagon wheels.
How is there not footage of this, or at least some still photos of this? Come on, people, this is why they invented camera phones. Marcus Lush emptying his wheelie bin into a public rubbish receptacle. Come on, people, what are you doing? Lift your game. My wheelie bin wasn't collected once. Admittedly, it was full of concrete. I dug up a whole lot of concrete out of my section, and that had made it quite heavy. So that was probably fair enough. I don't think you are supposed to put that in your bin. But that seems like a lot of nappies if it's too heavy to lift. It's a lot of shit in the Lush household. Anyway, I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Thursday. I will see you back here again tomorrow with more rubbish.